I have two words for you today. Gray divorce. What's your experience with that? Have you been through it personally? I see a lot of younger people today lamenting the divorces of their parents, even their grandparents. I have two guests for you today to talk about this, and I want to hear from you during the hour. The interesting phenomenon that we're going to address today shows the changing nature of our culture as well as culture in the church. We used to get calls from concerned parents. We still do. Concerned parents who are concerned about their children and they're making these choices and they're in a troubled marriage and there's a potential divorce, and so there is all this consternation from the parent to the child. Now we're getting calls from children who are troubled by their parents' decisions, their parents' or even their grandparents' divorce. We'll talk about it today on Chris Fabry Live. If you have something to add, call us 877-548-3675. This may be tearing you up today, and it might be one of those things that you look at the radio and you say, how'd you know what I need to hear about this? Well, I didn't, but I read on one of our guests has a blog, and she's written a lot about this, and that's how I came across it, as well as all the programs that I've seen on, you know, the general media about gray divorce. So if you want to log in or maybe answer on Facebook as well, there's, if you go to chrisfabrylive.org, you can link with us there. Let me thank our team. Ryan McConaughey is doing all things technical. Trish is our producer. Gabby D is in the chair today. Anthony will be answering your calls. If you listened yesterday to our conversation with Glenna Marshall, I know you were encouraged about meditating on God's word, even mumbling it. You had to hear the program or read the book to understand what I mean by that. But I am seeing something this month that really excites me. There are several people who have given for the very first time here in the month March. And my guess is it has something to do with that topic of memorization. The idea of memorizing scripture is something that you know you want to do, but you don't know how to do it or where to start, or you think you can't. And Glenna gave us enough hope yesterday from her own life saying, you know, I forget people's names too. It was, that program was filled with hope for change. Her little book, Memorizing Scripture, is not a list of scriptures to memorize. There are verses in there that you can, you know, make your own. What it is basically is a motivating, simple, hands-on approach that will give you tools and tips and skills to hide God's word in your heart. Maybe you've never given to the program. Do that today. ChrisFabryLive.org. Scroll down. We'll send you that game-changing book, Memorizing Scripture, chrisfabrylive.org, or call 866-95-FABRY. You can give that way if you'd like to. Call that number, press the number 2, 866-953-2279. This morning, page 65, this is it. We never study God simply to acquire knowledge. And we don't memorize scripture simply to be able to recite it. No, the bedrock of both study and meditation is relationship. That's what's going to happen. That's why she talks more about transformation than recital. Oh, I'm excited. I can't. You know, this is one of those things. You put this in your hands and you start doing what she's talking about, and it'll pay dividends for you years down the road, ones that you can't anticipate. Okay, I'll stop. Thanks for your support. ChrisFabryLive.org, where you'll also find out about Laura Petherbridge, returning guest, speaker, teacher, author, who serves couples and single adults with topics on spiritual growth, relationships, step families, co-parenting, single parenting, divorce prevention, divorce recovery. She wrote, When I Do Becomes I Don't, Practical Steps for Healing During Separation and Divorce. That's one of our featured resources today. The Smart Stepmom, she wrote with Ron Deal. We have a link to her website and the blog that she wrote about gray divorce at chrisfabrylive.org. Laura Petherbridge, welcome back to the program. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
You put on your blog this note from someone who said, Laura, my 66-year-old mom just told me that she and my dad are getting divorced. I'm in shock. They've been married for 39 years. Why? What are they thinking? Let's start right there. What did you think about that?
I thought I've heard this many times. Unfortunately, it wasn't shocking. So yeah, I just was like, my heart breaks for her because she's not understanding why her parents would make this decision.
Right. And isn't it, I was thinking more about this, and you give a lot of the reasons. We're going to get into those. But I wonder if the shock isn't one of perception. You know, my parents have been married for 39 years. The appearance, I've always thought of them as stable. I've always thought of them as loving each other, and they've had their problems. But what I perceive might not be the reality in that home. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And it causes the child to start wondering, was my entire growing up years a lie? Like, were they miserable my entire life and they just hid it from me? Or I minimized, you know, yes, I saw them fighting, but did I minimize how serious their fights were? And so it causes the child to begin questioning everything about their home and their foundation and they're growing up. And so that, yeah, it throws all kinds of questions and concerns and fears into their mind.
Yes. And isn't this one of the main reasons why younger people are waiting longer to get married because they've seen this happen, you know, earlier of divorce in the family, and they don't want that.
That's correct. And they've seen perhaps their parents get divorced, and now they're seeing their grandparents get divorced. And so, you know, in my generation, that was unheard of. Your grandparents never got divorced. You know, your parents maybe were going to get divorced, but your grandparents and all your friends' grandparents, none of the grandparents got divorced. So now you have a society that is seeing grandpa and grandma get divorced, and it's communicating to the younger generation, marriage doesn't work. Marriage doesn't last. It's not permanent. It's impossible to stay together that long. And so it's causing them to either delay it or avoid it altogether.
So the statistics that I have seen say that divorce overall is declining, which is a good thing, the divorce rate, but the divorce rate for those who are 45 or 50 and older has gone up a lot. Is that true?
Yes. The only thing I would challenge is this, the divorce rate declining. We have to keep in mind that the rate of cohabitation has increased even in the last 20 years exponentially. So there are less people getting married. And so we have to factor that in when we start getting excited about the divorce rate dropping or leveling out. We have to constantly keep in the back of our mind that also more and more people are choosing not to get married at all.
Right. And I told you before we started here, Laura, that the danger of a program like this is to just get clinical and I can ask you all the why questions and we can have a really good program with information, but we don't hit at the heart. And so I'm going to take a quick break here and we're going to ask you why when we come back. Why is this happening? What are the factors? Knowing that there's somebody listening right now whose heart has been torn out because you're living this right now. Let me give you our number, 877-548-3675. More straight ahead on Moody Radio. Laura Petherbridge is joining us. She's written When I Do Becomes I Don't, Practical Steps for Healing During Separation and Divorce. You can find out more about her and link to her website where she talked about gray divorce. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. So at the risk of just being, you know, give me more statistics and tell me why you think this is happening. Let's talk about the why. Give me a list of some of the reasons why gray divorce has kind of exploded over the last few years.
These are a combination of what I personally witnessed, leading divorce recovery ministry for 30 years, and things that you read online or people tell me. So it's kind of a blend of actual statistics and my own experience working with divorced people. Number one, hands down, number one reason, people are living longer. You know, I just was with moving my mom into senior living yesterday, or assisted living rather, and she's 89 and a half. And she says over and over again, I never dreamt I would live this long, because she had nobody in her family that ever lived this long. So people are living longer. We have more medications, more medical treatments. And so because they're not, you know, when they turn 65, they're not thinking, oh, I'm old, I'm probably going to only live another 5, 6, 7 years. People are thinking, I've got another 20 years. And so that's really a huge factor in why they're considering this. Another one is that they've been sweeping under the rug the issues in their marriage for many years. They've been pretending that the marriage is okay, or ignoring the big, super duper big issues. And they're to a point of, again, I've got another 20 years to live, hopefully, or maybe more. And I don't want to live like this. I want the rest of this life to be without all of that abuse, stress, arguing, whatever. A third reason is the stigma is gone. I can remember my parents getting divorced when I was 8 years old. And my mother was one of the only divorced people in my church. Now, it was a smaller church, but she was one of the only divorced women. Well, you won't find that today, even in a smaller church. It's much more common for people to either be divorced or cohabitating or in a step family. So the stigma of it, the shame, the everybody looking down on you or gossiping or whatever, that is gone. Abuse is no more something that we don't talk about. There's more resources out there for abuse. So if there's an abusive situation going on in the home, whether it's domestic violence or verbal abuse or even a lack of boundaries, addictions, anything like that, years ago, there was very few resources to help a person get out of a marriage when you were married to somebody who had an addiction or an abusive problem. So those are just some of the top reasons why people who are in the senior years are saying, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Okay, so what you've just described, it sounds to me, just the tenor of what you use there in the examples, that more women think about divorce and divorcing their husbands than husbands their wives. Do you know any research? What I saw just looking around today was that, yeah, it skews a little bit more women than men, but it's pretty close. Do you agree with that?
Women tend to file for divorce more, but that is for financial reasons. It's not because they wanted the marriage to end more.
Okay.
So this is something we can get very turned around. So women legally file for divorce more, and this is in any age group, but it is not because they are the ones that want the marriage to end. It's that financially they need the divorce papers to survive financially. So where a man would be more comfortable just saying, okay, let's just split up. We won't get legally divorced. We'll just split up. A woman, if she needs the financial benefit of a divorce, she's going to pursue that legally.
Yes. Which takes us to the point that you made in the article that women today have more money than women in past generations. Why does that make a difference?
She's feeling more independent. She's feeling like she did not, you know, totally depend on her husband for the financial ability to stand on her own two feet. As I mentioned, my parents divorced when I was 8. My mother had to go work at General Motors in a factory for 30 years as a single parent mom. Not all women are capable of doing that. I mean, that's how she supported us, but not all women are capable of that. Or if they're Christians, we value the woman staying in the home and raising the kids, homeschooling. So she may not have pursued that just because she thought she shouldn't, or that they didn't want her working outside the home. And now, if the marriage is ending, she's suffering a consequence for that, because she has she doesn't have the Social Security or the retirement benefits that she would have had if she'd gone to work. So it really, but women are more educated today. Women have the opportunity to have better jobs. It's allowed them to be more independent.
Is there also a factor that I see more in the younger generation, but it filters up as well as down? And that is, life is too short to not be happy, and I'm supposed to be happy. And God, you know, even Christians, well, God wants me happy, not miserable. And so they go the route of divorce because the grass is greener, because it's going to, you know, or even if I'm single, I'm going to be happier than I am with this spouse that I have.
Absolutely. In the blog, I mentioned that for a season, my husband, who is a retired pastor, he worked on staff at a church in Florida, and it was a very large retirement community. And I was pretty shocked. I was like 50 when we moved there. So it wasn't like I was young, but I wasn't senior age yet. And I was shocked at how differently the seniors acted in that community than the seniors, say, in my hometown. And it took me about a year to figure out, why does it feel different here? And it's because it was so heavily promoted, be young again, go back to your teen years, you can relive your youth. And, you know, as I get older, I certainly understand the desire to do that. It's hard to get older. It's hard to lose your beauty and your ability to run around and everything. But the real thing that caught me was the pursuit of happiness was just at a high fervor. And to throw caution to the wind, they were drinking much more heavily than, say, the seniors were at home. And all of a sudden, they're out partying with all these other seniors, throwing off all the inhibitions. And along with that, often, I don't want my old wife or my old husband anymore. I'm going to go find somebody new. So that whole pursuit of happiness, which there's nothing wrong with pursuing being happy, but if it moves on to a self-centeredness or just such a narcissistic, you know, goal, then we're getting into something that is totally ungodly.
Yes. So there can be abuse. There can be, you mentioned pornography and infidelity that have invaded marriages. Maybe the spouse who had indiscretion or is, the other spouse put up with it until the kids are out of the house and then said, I'm not taking this anymore. You change or we're done. And there's no change, or they just said, I'm done with this. I don't need you. You can change whether you want to or not. And they just walk away. That has an effect as well.
Absolutely. And we're better. Christians are better at learning how to set boundaries now. See, that wasn't something we talked about very much, but now you have excellent resources like Leslie Vernick, who teaches women in particular the difference between leniency or ignoring sin and setting a healthy boundary. And so, see, for a long time in the church, we didn't have any teaching on that subject. And so more and more women are understanding submission does not mean ignoring sin in your home. And the same goes for men and women. Women are just worse at setting a boundary.
Yeah. So that was the other question I had, and I don't think you're going to be able to answer it, but I'm going to ask you anyway, because you're here, Laura. Laura Petherbridge is with us. Because we always hear this, you know, the statistics are the same in the church as they are in the culture, the same here, or they're lower here than... What is the gray divorce rate in the church versus the general culture? Any idea?
No, I really don't think there's any stats on that. I will tell you that the things I personally, and again, I'm still working in divorce recovery, step families. I travel everywhere. I go to churches. I am seeing more senior women step up and say, I've been treated badly for 30 years. I don't want to be divorced, but I am not going to live the rest of my years like that.
Yes.
The other thing, when I was leading divorce recovery every week, the one thing that shocked me was the number of, and I know it sounds like we're throwing the guys under the bus here. I don't mean to do that. But the thing that shocked me was the number of men who left their wives after she was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Wow.
I can't even tell you how shocked I was. Almost every class, every session I led, there was at least one woman in the class who was getting divorced because her husband had left her because she had gotten a breast cancer diagnosis. So I can't give you the what's up with that, but I can tell you that that's the big change. The other big change I can tell you that I see in divorce recovery and step family ministry, not 100% related to seniors, but the number of women leaving their children. That is the other huge anomaly, huge increase. And of course, in the senior years, that is going to affect the children as they grow, that their mother walked away and left them.
Right.
That's going to affect the whole senior population as we move forward.
That was another one of my questions, was illness, because I've seen the same anecdotally, you know, a diagnosis of MS or some long-standing disease, and especially the men walking away. But on the flip side, I've seen, also had some friends who stayed right there and all the way to the end and didn't abandon, you know, and then didn't get married immediately afterward either. Not that that's a bad thing, but they walk through that those days. So, you know, there's a problem when you just give anecdotes and just say, well, this happened, and push it on everybody. But the whole gray divorce thing, I wanted to have you on, Laura, specifically for the person who is in the middle of this, not the children, because we're going to talk about that in the next segment mostly. But I wanted you to talk to the person who is older, who is in some of those categories, and maybe it's she is looking at her husband and saying, he hasn't changed, he ain't going to change, I'm miserable with this, I'd like to walk away. Is there any hope for anything other than divorce for that person?
Absolutely. The thing she or he, but normally a she, would have to overcome is the fact that it has crushed her or pushed her down for so long that she doesn't have any fight left. She doesn't see any other way. It is very common when we have enabled somebody to treat us badly that when we say, no, I'm not going to let you treat me that way anymore, they often will turn around and recognize, oh my gosh, I'm going to suffer a consequence for this if I don't change. And that can turn the whole marriage around. Once they recognize I could lose being around my kids, my grandkids, my checkbook, my home, I could lose a lot here. You know, it's going to hurt for me to go to some counseling or get some therapy or be held accountable, but I don't want my spouse leaving me in my senior years. And so if this is what I have to do, dear God, give me the ability, the strength, the willingness to do it. And so what has to happen is the person that's fed up, they have to go to God and say, give me enough strength to hang in there to see if he or she is willing to repent and turn around.
Yes.
If they aren't willing, obviously, then maybe you need to move forward. But to give your spouse that one opportunity where you or a pastor or somebody can sit down with them and say, look it, buddy, if you don't stop this, you're going to lose everything.
Yes.
Which choice do you want to make?
And the harder thing to look at then, if you go through that, you know, I'd say bring the ultimatum, is to, if you go through counseling, look at your own life and see how you have been a willing party to what has gone on for this long. And not that it should continue, but just to be able to look at your own life in a hard way to say, okay, what agreement have I made here in this relationship that has allowed this to go on this long, and we both want it to change? That's Laura Prethelbridge. She wrote The Gray Divorce, What is Happening? We have a link to it at chrisfabrylive.org. Now, something I never thought we'd talk about. You know about praying for your kids? Chelsea Stanley has written a book called 5 Things to Pray for Your Parents. We're going to talk with her and a whole lot more straight ahead here on Moody Radio. A phone call can mean the difference between life and death. You know that because of 911, you've seen the videos, the emergency calls where somebody does CPR. I want you to think about that for CareNet, because they have a phone line that is called every day by people who are in a real difficult situation, an unplanned pregnancy. I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. How am I going to? It seems like it would be much better to just go the route of abortion, and then we can start over again. We don't have to. Well, CareNet has put together something called A Lifeline of Hope. It's a 40-day devotional inspired by stories from the front lines of work to save unborn lives. And as you read these, there's not only the story of what happened, there's scripture, and then there's a prayer at the end. And the hope is that you will begin to pray for the workers at CareNet, that they would be able to, with the Holy Spirit's help, be able to help the people on the other end of the line, or those who come into the resource center, choose life. They are a pro-abundant life ministry. Find out what that is all about by downloading the free resource, A Lifeline of Hope. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, click the CareNet green button, and look at resources. You'll see it. It's the very first thing that pops up there. A Lifeline of Hope, 40-day devotional, free for you from CareNet. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org and click the green CareNet button. We're talking about gray divorce today, and we've been talking with Laura Prethelbridge. I want you to hear from Chelsea, though, because Chelsea Stanley has written 5 Things to Pray for Your Parents, prayers that change things for an older generation. And I'll tell you this, Chelsea, I have seen a lot of books. It's more about a spouse praying for another spouse, you know, or parents praying for their children. When I saw this, and then I saw your blog about gray divorce, I thought, I got to talk to Chelsea, because the blog is When Your Gray-Haired Parents Get Divorced. You've been listening to Laura and me. What's your response so far?
Well, thanks, Chris, for having me. Your show really ministered to me while I was going through my own parents' gray divorce, so it's just neat to be here with you and Laura chatting about this. This gray divorce thing is tough, and as an adult child, there's a unique grief that goes with it. Just a little bit of my story. When I grew up, I was in a Christian home with 2 loving parents who raised me in the ways of the Lord. And in my early 20s, right after I had graduated from college and just three weeks before my own wedding, I found out that their marriage was coming to an end. They got divorced shortly after that, just 1 year shy of their 25th wedding anniversary. And it completely rocked my world. Early on, I really struggled. I had so many questions. Like Laura said, were my parents unhappy this whole time? Could I have done anything to help save their marriage? Was my own marriage destined to fail? How could I honor my parents in light of all that had occurred? But God graciously led my husband and me to a church where I learned that the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for our sins, wasn't just for my initial salvation. It applied to every area of my life, including my relationship with my parents. And so God began to show me how first and foremost I was his daughter, and how I could forgive my parents because Christ had first forgiven me, how I could love them because Christ had first loved me, and how I could honor them because Christ had first honored me. And so I still grieve over what could have been, but I also have great comfort and hope in Jesus Christ and want to share that with others. And one of the things that came out of that was this book.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you followed that. Okay, so a hard question. Don't answer if you don't want to. But did you feel like you had to take sides when they divorced?
I tried really hard not to do that. It was important to me to really try to honor them both. But yeah, that's hard.
Do you still have a relationship with both of them?
I do. God has done a lot of healing there. Early on, it was a struggle. I had a lot of anger and hurt that I needed to heal from, but God has been really gracious to help me through that. And I have a great relationship, I think, with my mom and my dad right now. So I'm grateful for that.
Good. Laura, this just points out the depth of the struggle, especially for the child, the adult child who's walking through this, doesn't it?
It does. And it's so multifaceted, because not only is Chelsea grieving this experience with her own parents, if she has children or is going to have children, she's going to grieve that her children are not going to have the grandma and grandpa relationship that she probably had growing up, and that most of us desire for our grandchildren. Every birthday, every special occasion, every Christmas now means discussing who's allowed to come to the table.
Right.
Are we going to have to invite the new boyfriends and girlfriends? You know, is grandma willing to be in the room with grandpa if he brings his girlfriend? It's not just the incident. It is now how future life looks so radically different than what Chelsea probably imagined her adult life would look like.
Exactly. So you went ahead, though, and I'm interested how you got over the hump, Chelsea. You went ahead and got married to Dan, and you have four children. So what happened with your parents didn't hold you back from making that decision. How'd you do that?
With a lot of help from the Lord. My husband and I both love the Lord, and we just committed to building our marriage on the solid rock. He's wonderful, and he has been through this every step of the way with me. And so we've really relied on Christ. We have a great church, like I said, and just have to believe that we can break these patterns, that I'm not destined for divorce, that with God's help, I can have a healthy marriage with my husband. And I pray that my kids will have that too.
Yes. There was a caller that I was going to go to, and Laura, I'd love to hear your response to this, but it was a dad who wanted to get divorced. It was their 60th anniversary, and the child, the adult child, said, let's wait a few days on that, Dad. And there was a medical appointment, got some blood work. And he was deficient in one thing or another, vitamin B or something like that. And as it came out of that whole medical the diagnosis that he had, and the help that he got, he was horrified. Sometime later that he had considered this, but there was stuff going on with him medically. Have you ever heard of something like that, Laura?
Absolutely, I have clients all the time that. Usually women who contact me, my husband, you know, wants a divorce, my husband, and then they'll say something like, and I used to work in the medical field, so that does help, but they'll say something like, he's so different. He's saying these things differently. He's remembering these things. You know, he's like a completely different person. And or here's an interesting thing, Chris. I have no psychology to answer why this is, but when the husband's father dies, something happens in men. I saw this pattern over and over and over in divorce recovery, where they would leave their wife after their father would die. Now, you're going to need Dr. Phil or somebody way more educated than me. But anyway, yes. So if your spouse is acting just very differently than they used to behave, it could easily be something medical going on if all of a sudden this is coming out of nowhere. That's a very good question.
And I'm glad, Linda, thank you for that call. I'm glad, Chelsea, that you're here. In our next segment, I want you to just come alongside the adult child who is really struggling, even listening to this program because it's bringing so much up. You wrote 5 things to pray for your parents, prayers that change things for an older generation. We have it linked at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. But I want you to talk to those people, younger people who are going through having gray-haired parents get divorced. That's straight ahead on Moody Radio. Program note, Colin Lambert's going to sit in for me tomorrow. Nothing's wrong. Just have something I need to do, and Colin's going to sit in for a really good conversation. How many of you think if you work in Christian work, full-time ministry, then that's the real place to go? And if you have a secular job, it's like, eh. I want you to listen to Jordan Rayner tomorrow because, and I'm kicking myself that I'm not going to be able to talk with him, but Colin's going to do a great job with him. If you dream of doing something for eternity, you know, working at a church or working at a Christian organization, listen to what Jordan has to say tomorrow. I'll just leave it right there. Thanks for your support of the program. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. You can see more about our guests. Laura Petherbridge, author of When I Do Becomes I Don't, talking about gray divorce with her, and Chelsea Stanley, who also wrote 5 Things to Pray for Your Parents, Prayers That Change Things for an Older Generation. So, Chelsea, give me an overview of those things. Actually, don't tell me anything. Sit beside the person who is going through what you went through 14 years ago. What do they do? How do they pray?
Yeah. First of all, I would just say God knows your pain, and he doesn't expect you to stifle your tears. The Bible says that he patiently collects each one in a bottle and records them in his book. And as the psalmist says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And so you can be comforted because God knows your pain. Also, when you're wrestling through your parents' divorce, it can feel like the ground beneath you is crumbling. And so in those moments, we have to remember that our firm foundation is not found in our earthly families. It's found in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our one true hope. It's through his blood that we've been adopted into a better family with a better trajectory. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. We are God's children forever, and our Heavenly Father will never change or fail us. No matter what tomorrow holds, we can take heart knowing that the Lord is and always will be gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love for his children. And then I would encourage you to pray. One thing that God showed me through this whole experience is that our parents need prayer too. God used the practice of praying scripture for my parents to soften my heart towards them and to help me see them through his eyes. I felt great freedom in knowing that when I was praying scripture for them, I was praying his will for them and not my own. So if you're really struggling in your relationship with your parents, prayer is a safe first step of obedience. It doesn't require direct contact with anyone but God, meaning you don't have to see your parents or even be on speaking terms to pray for them. Of course, my hope would be that God would eventually bring healing to your relationship, but in the meantime, you can really honor them from a distance with your prayers.
I love it that you said that the prayers and the scripture that you talked about softened your own heart, because you would think, you know, if I'm in this situation, it's like, God, keep them together. Don't let them get a divorce. You know, this is doing something to me and I don't want it to do it to them. Obviously that didn't happen for you, that they didn't stay together, but that really is not the end all and be all. The end all and be all is relationship with them, access to them, God's access to your own heart to soften you in order to have that relationship, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I'll be honest, Chris, early on, my prayers were just, God, please stop this from happening. Please change their hearts. But then once the divorce was finalized, God really started to work on my heart and show me how I could be praying for them in different ways. And it was just really freeing for me to look at scripture and see what God thinks of them and how I should be thinking of them.
In the last couple of years, Chelsea, we give a gift, you know, each month, and memorizing scripture is what we're giving this month. But there was one month, actually, I think we did this twice. Erwin Lutzer wrote a book about prayers for your children, you know, parents' prayers for their children. And it was one of the most popular things that we did. And my guess is that the very same thing, this is exactly what a younger person needs for their parent, but it's probably not going to come across their radar unless they hear a program like this. 5 Things to Pray for Your Parents by Chelsea Stanley. Go to her website. We have a link there, and you can read the blog, When Your Gray-Haired Parents Get Divorced. Laura Petherbridge, in your book, there's a section on friends and family. So if you're a friend of a person who's going through the gray-haired divorce, what can you do, or your family member with them? What do you do?
You can really, you know, typically in a divorce situation, there's one person who wants the divorce and another person who does not. Not every situation, but often. And so it depends on which side of, you know, which person you're siding with. Of course, like Chelsea's describing, if you're the kid, it's really hard not to lean towards one or the other. Typically, we want to lean towards the person that doesn't want the divorce and have more sympathy and compassion for them. But there are very practical things that people going through a divorce need. Financial things, emotional things. Sunday was the worst day of the week when I went through my divorce. I was in my 20s. I can't even imagine going through that in my 60s. So, you know, there's just very practical things that I listed there that you can do to show your friend or loved one or family member, yes, this horrible thing is happening, but, you know, God, I'm going to be Jesus with skin on to show you that I'm still here. And one of the things that kids struggle with, I just want to tag this on here, is, you know, we're commanded by God to honor our parents. It's, and there's a caveat with that, so that it may go well with you. And I remembered thinking, how can I honor my parents when they're behaving so badly? And so that was a very intense time with God of asking him, show me what honoring my parents really looks like. Because the view of what I had that meant and what God was really calling me to do was very different.
You know, it strikes me, we began the program with my 66-year-old mom told me that she and my dad are getting divorced. Why? What are they thinking? You can answer that question. You can get a specific answer to that and still have a broken heart. Right, Laura?
Absolutely. You probably will have a broken heart regardless of what that answer is. And the emotions can be anywhere across the way. Chelsea had Christian parents that she watched growing up. And it sounds like maybe kind of a normal Christian home. But if you grew up even in a Christian home that was very tumultuous or very difficult or very complicated, you may be a little bit relieved that your parents are getting divorced. You're still grieving. You're grieving the death of their marriage and the death of your home, the death of your foundation. But say, for example, you constantly felt like you had to defend your mother or protect your mother, in particular for the sons in the family. They very much want to protect their mom. This may be a relief for you.
I got a text. I got a phone text as we began the program today. My parents did not divorce. Yet growing up, all I heard was, I wish he was like the men at church. Or I wish he was dead. And so it sounds like the parents didn't divorce. And he says, I'm glad that they didn't. And yet you can see the fallout of that. So it runs really, really deep. And I'm glad that both of you have talked about this, written about this online. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, click through today's information, you'll see the link to Laura Patherbridge's website where you can read what she's written about this, as well as Chelsea Stanley's website, When Your Gray-Haired Parents Get Divorced, is what she wrote. She writes for Desiring God and Risen Motherhood and the Gospel Coalition. But the book that she's written for anybody who's going through this with their parents, Five Things to Pray for Your Parents, Prayers That Change Things for an Older Generation. Chelsea, thanks for being with us. And Laura Petherbridge's book, When I Do Becomes I Don't, Practical Steps for Healing During Separation and Divorce. Hope this has been an encouragement to you, whether wherever you are on the spectrum or just as you're listening to this, and you know that there's somebody else who might be going through it, suggest the conversation to them. You can go to chrisfabrylive.org and find the podcast right there. Thanks for listening. Our program is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.